Well, good morning, everyone. I grew up in Ohio a long time ago. And when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, I had a newspaper route. We don't do that. I guess we let adults do that now. But when I was 11 years old, I used to get a big bundle of newspapers every afternoon when I got home from school. I'd fold them over and roll them up, put rubber bands around them, put them in a bag, and I'd go three blocks down and three blocks back, and I would throw the papers. It was good for my baseball career, okay? I could throw the papers from the sidewalk, hit the porch, sometimes hit the door, once in a while hit the window, okay? But I got to be pretty good at it with all of that. It was incredible, you know, you kind of get have a chance to kind of be in your own little business. And I would go to the newspaper headquarters on Saturday, and we'd have to turn in our money. You know, we'd have to, you know, do our business there with all that. And we'd walk through the offices, and there would be all the adults there working on the newspaper stories, you know, typing things out. And photographers would come in and say, we got to get these pictures of the fire in. And everybody's running around and getting the paper all together, and we'd walk out into the plant. These big printing machines and the big papers are being printed and coming out and everything else. Being a pretty impressive operation, all these people, smart people, talented people, putting out these newspapers for everybody. And then what was so ironic about it was that when the newspaper was all produced, they'd put it in the hands of an 11-year-old boy, okay? And they would depend on me to put it in the hands of all the people who wanted to read this paper. Now, did you catch the irony of all this, you know? Like, I was the link, maybe the crucial link in the chain. All this work that was being done, all the preparations to make this paper so readable and so attractive and so helpful, it was all up to me, whether I got the message to them or not. Well, this morning, that's kind of a little bit of what we're going to talk about. We know that God has a message for the world. And he's got the capabilities, he can proclaim it any way he wants. But what's so interesting is that he's decided that he's going to put his message in the hands of you and me. Just kind of amateurs, okay? To tell his story, to let the world know who he is. I mean, this past week I've been thinking, well, wouldn't it be great if God kind of got to write an op-ed in the paper, right? And or whether he could be on cable news for an hour and tell us really what's going wrong and what's happening with all this. You know, the mess that we're in really isn't that unusual. Tim Keller wrote over 10 years ago, he said, in his book, Counterfeit Gods, he said, you know, the problem is, in a culture, in a society, once we reject the idea that sin is the real problem, sin being the way that we ignore God, the way that we put our own selves in charge of all the decisions, and we decide what's right and wrong. Once we decide that sin, our own sin, our rebellion, our disagreement, our disobedience to God, once we decide that that's not the problem, then we look for someone else other than God to come up with the remedy, to come up with the healing, to come up with the answers of all these things. And I think what we're witnessing in our country and around the world is that people are trying to fix the mess, they're trying to pull things together, but they're not looking to the answer that God wants to give us. And so the church, people like you and me, God wants us to be telling the whole world what the message is. God has spoken. He doesn't need to go on CNN. You know, he doesn't need to be in the newspaper. God has already spoken to the world. Look at these words from the book of Hebrews, the very first chapter. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times and in many various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. After the Son, he's talking about Jesus Christ, he said, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So you see, God's already been here. God's come and given us a very clear picture of what the answer is. And he's done it in a very dramatic way. He did it in a very costly way. He decided to come himself. The good news is that God hasn't just off in the distance, hiding away from us, kind of wringing his hands or kind of mopping his brow, kind of, you know, being tearful about what's happening. He knows very much what's going on here. He sent the answer to us, and the answer is in his Son. Some days, you know, I feel like when I'm here, standing before all of you in this responsibility to kind of open God's word and talk to you, I feel like I'm still that newspaper boy, okay? I feel like God's given us his word through his prophets, through his Son. I mean, this is a powerful, he's prepared all this for us, and I'm just trying to wrap it up and throw it on your porch, okay? And I'm hoping that it's going to land there, and they're going to be able to pick it up and begin to read it and understand that God has a message for you, that he wants to speak to you and let you see what this is all about. So God has this great message, but I guess as a person who lives in 2018, I kind of say, God, you know, you could have done better. If you had sent Jesus, like during this time, he could have been on social media, okay? I mean, thank God, Jesus could have gone viral. He could, you know, everybody could have seen, you know, watch this Instagram video. We're just starting now. Everybody jump on board. You could see the miracles happening, right? But I guess God knew his schedule. In fact, I think God is the one who invented viral, right? He knew about viral before we ever did. And so when God sent his Son into the world, God's strategy is very interesting. Jesus comes out, and after he goes and he fights these temptations, really stays true to God. He's baptized then. John the Baptist pulls him out of the water, and they hear the voice, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then Jesus goes looking for his team. He goes looking to recruit the guys that are going to be part of his team and what's going to happen with all that. And he goes around and begins to pull them all together with all this. And so this morning our passage is from Matthew, the 4th chapter. It's very similar to what we read in Mark chapter 1 and in John chapter 1. And then also what we read in Luke chapter 5. All gospel writers got to tell this whole story of how Jesus recruits his team. So take a look with me in Matthew chapter 4. If you'd like to use the Bibles here at Shelter Rock, it's page 968. And Matthew chapter 4, Jesus calls his disciples. So here's God's word to us today. I'm throwing it on your porch. You ready? Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Now going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father, Zebedee. They were preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, we don't know whether this is like the first, like this account is like the first time that they ever saw Jesus or ever heard from him. We don't know whether this was the first moment where Jesus looked him in the eye and said, "Follow me," or whether there had been other opportunities for them to get to know Jesus, talk to Jesus, find out a little bit more about him. Jesus had begun to be active. Remember, he went, his very first miracle was at a wedding reception. Remember, they ran out of wine and he turned the water into wine. I'm sure that word got passed around. I'm sure that message went through the community pretty fast. And everybody's like, "He did what? And it tasted that good?" Yes. I was at a wedding reception a couple weeks ago, and I went up to the bar to get something to drink, and the bartender recognized me and said, "Well, Pastor, what are you drinking today?" I said, "Well, why don't you just give me a little glass of water, and let's see what God's going to do to it, okay?" I even got the bartender to laugh, okay? Well, guess what? You know, his Jesus' presence was already making a difference. We read in Luke chapter 5 that he showed up to speak to people. Peter and his crew were there. They had been out fishing already. They had the boat in, and Jesus said, "Could I use your boat?" And so they actually got onto the boat, and Jesus kind of pushed out, and he preached to the people. Peter and the other guys were doing their commercial fishing work, cleaning up their nets and everything else. And when they were done, Peter thought, well, he's going to really thank me. You know, good guy like Jesus, good to get a little appreciation. I let him use my boat. And Jesus kind of surprises him and said, "Let's go fishing." And Peter's like, okay. These guys who are preachers, they're nice guys, and it's nice to let them use my boat a little bit, but they don't understand. You see, Lord, we've been out fishing, and they're not biting. They're not there. In fact, we were out all night. We didn't catch anything. And all the rules of fishing say, when they're not there, when they're not biting, if you've been out all night, we don't go. Jesus said, "Get in the boat. Let's go fishing." And so Peter's faced with this whole dilemma about, do I let a preacher tell me, a commercial fisherman, how to catch fish? What does this guy know about that? And then Jesus seems rather insistent. He seems to have a little authority. And so Peter's like, well, okay, maybe I might do this. But he's thinking, what's everybody else going to think? I'm going to get out there in that boat, and all my friends are going to look at him and go, what's Peter doing? What's he doing out there? He's got the preacher in the boat. What's going on? They're going to put the nets. Oh, come on. That's crazy, right? And I'm sure Peter's thinking he's going to be joked about in every bar in the Sea of Galilee, okay? So for the rest of his life, they're going to go, hey, Peter, come on over here. Give this guy a drink. Tell us about the time you took the preacher out in the boat, okay? He's like, oh, man. But that day when Jesus said, drop the nets, Peter obeyed him. He did what he said. He dropped the nets, and you know what happened. They caught more fish than they could get in the boat. They had to call for other people, all the guys who were going to make fun of him. They had to look back and say, come on out here and help us. Because all of us, we caught nothing all night, but look what we caught now. So you know that Peter's definitely impacted by this. Because Jesus connected with him and with all the other people. Jesus speaks with authority. He would talk about the scriptures that from what we call the Old Testament, and people would say, gee, I've never heard it said like that. I've heard people drone on and talk, and it's been so boring, we kind of fall asleep in the temple. But when Jesus talks about it, it seems like it really fits into life. And Jesus, the way he lived his life, the authenticity that he had, you could see it was making a huge difference in their lives, and they were looking at him. And so when he said, come, follow me, Jesus is selecting them. Very interesting. They're not chasing after him. He's picked them out and said, you come, be my followers. Follow me and be with me. I'd have to be a little bit critical, maybe. Can I just offer my opinion? I don't think he exactly picked the brightest bulbs in the bunch, okay? They're not the sharpest crayons in the box, okay? These guys are pretty much blue-collar, kind of semi-educated. I mean, I would think Jesus would look at the list for the top 100 influential people in Israel and maybe pick 10 or 12 people out of that list. Or maybe 10 up-and-comers, you know? The guys who he seemed to pick didn't seem to have any credentials, didn't seem to be anything special. But Jesus picked them and said, come with me. And his plan seemed to be pretty clear. He said, you come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to give you a new career. The fish will come and go. You're helpful. They're good. But, you know, fish don't last long. But I'm going to help you catch a hold of people, because people really are the reason that I came to earth. People are the reason that I came, the people I came to save, and I'm going to help you put your hands on them so that they could have eternal life. They could know the living God. They could know why they're created and what their life is really all about. And so he says, follow me. And so for 3 years, we see these ordinary guys, people probably just like you and me, ordinary guys. He says in Matthew 4, follow me. When we get to Matthew 28, which is the last chapter in Matthew's gospel, what does Jesus say to these same guys? He says, go. Go into all the world and disciple people everywhere you go, telling them, teaching them exactly what I taught you. And don't be afraid. Go everywhere, because I'm going to be with you. and I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth. What happened to these guys that from just being kind of local fishermen, that now they become the ambassadors, they become the message givers, they're going to deliver God's message all over the world? Well, God did something to them in those 3 years. And I think what it all boils down to is that they just followed him. They said, we're going to go and spend time with him. And the time that they spent with him in those 3 years made the huge difference with all of that. Now, that's the same strategy that God wants to do with us. He looks at you and me. He doesn't just pick out Billy Graham and a few other characters. You know, well, Billy Graham himself is a good example. Just an ordinary guy, really. Nothing special about him. But guess what? God used him in powerful ways. And God can use you, not just to stand up in front of other people, but where you are in your work, where you're at in your school, the places where God's going to put you in your life. He wants to use us to be his ambassadors, to tell his story. Look what 2 Corinthians 5 says. I love this passage. It tells us about we have the greatest message in the world. Look at the very first verse. It says, if anyone is in Christ, and he does mean anyone. So there are people here today who say, well, you don't know, I got a bad past. You know, I've made some bad mistakes. I'm involved in bad stuff right now. No, you're included in the anyone. He said, if anyone is in Christ, gets this message of Jesus into him, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. You know, the greatest thing that would change our world and change the situations that we're dealing with and all the struggles that we're having, if we could get Christ into people's lives, he would make them new. He'd make them different. He'd make them into the people that God intended them to be. He said, this message that we have, it's the most optimistic message in the world, I think. He said, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He said, this doesn't come from us. We can't do this to people. We can't say, well, come to our church and we'll process you for 3 years. And we'll, no. It says, listen, all this is going to come from God. It's God who's going to change us. And God is the one who can turn things around and make people different. He said, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God is the one who's reached out to us. I like to say to people who say, well, I'm searching for God. I go, hey, don't worry. You don't even have to search. Guess what? He's looking for you. And he's sending his spirit. He's sending other people. He's trying to find out where you live. He's going to knock on your door. He wants you to know that he cares so much about you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to reconcile you with you. So all those times that you've ignored him, all those times that you've disobeyed him, he's putting that all aside. All those debts that are on your card, he's going to pay for all those things through Christ. He says that God was not reconciling the world, that God was reconciling the world. I'll get this right. Verse 19, let's see if I can read it right, okay? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Your debts are paid when you put your faith in Christ. Look at the end of 19. And he has committed to, what's that word? Us. I'll say it again. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's the best message anybody could ever give you. It's like God's handing you this message and saying, go share this with people. Well, what's in it, Lord? It says that they can come back to me. That their sins can be forgiven, that it's all, you know, everything's in the past. I mean, wouldn't you like to deliver that message to some people who are just tormented by guilt, holding on to bitterness and anger, having, you know, struggles with all the things that have happened in the past? God wants us to deliver a message to them to say, guess what? It's all over. God has made a way for us. He says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through. There's that word again. Who? Through us. God wants to speak through us. So if you're in middle school, God wants you to speak to the people that you go to school with. If you are working, in a deli, guess what? The people coming in and out, well, guess what? God's going to give you an opportunity to talk to them a little bit. Not to be inappropriate, not to be obnoxious. we're all in families, and sometimes our families need to know God's love and his forgiveness, and they need to see it come through us. Because really, here's the message. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. Jesus, who had no sin in his life, went to the cross, and there on the cross, he took all the sin that was in our life and put it on himself so that he could take all of his righteousness, all his goodness, and put it on us. Just cover us with that. That's really the message God wants to give us. He wants us to understand that this is the message that his church is to be giving to the people around us. He's wrapped it up. He's printed it out. He says, hey, Jack, throw it on their porch. You know, let people see that this is really true. I love this whole issue. Jesus says to his disciples, he said, what this all boils down to is just follow me. Just watch me. Just do what I do. Just let this really happen in your life. And when we do that, what a difference it makes. I like Francis Chan tells a story about telling his daughter about that she needed to clean her room. His daughter said, oh, okay. So she came back 2 hours later. She said, Dad, guess what? I memorized what you told me. I should clean my room. He said, did you clean your room? She said, no, I didn't clean my room, but I memorized it, okay? So she came back a little while later, and she said, I looked it up. I know the Greek word now for clean your room, okay? I know where it comes from, and I can explain what it means to clean your room. He said, but did you clean your room yet? He said, no, I didn't clean my room yet. So she came back the third time. She said, guess what? I just had a little meeting with some of my friends. We had a study, and we talked about what my room could look like if I actually cleaned it. Aren't you pleased and excited? She said, no, I just wanted you to clean your room, okay? So sometimes we get this whole thing turned around. We get God's message in our head, and we're thinking about it, even memorizing it. We like to talk about it. But he's saying, just do it. Just put it into practice. Just let people see the difference with all this. You know, you might say, well, Jack, you're probably good at this, and maybe the other people in this church are good, but I'm not really that good. I don't think I'd really qualify to do this very well. Look at this next picture. Here's the guy that we talked about, Simon Peter. You talk about a guy who's not a candidate, not really, not even, he's not even on the B list, okay? He's erratic. He's up, he's down, he's for you, he's against you. You know, he's enthusiastic, he's negative. And you know about his failures. He's had many of them. The biggest one, of course, was the night that Jesus was arrested after he had bragged, I'll never forsake you, I'll fight to the death, no one will ever touch you. And 2 hours later, he's standing in the courtyard, and three times he denies that he even knows Jesus. And the last time is to a young little girl who says, I know you're one of his followers. And he curses at her. You talk about having failed the test. And yet, after Jesus is resurrected, he goes back out and he finds Peter fishing again. Same kind of almost same situation. And tells him to follow him. Asks him some questions. Do you really love me? And he restores him. So whatever messed up situation you've made, whatever mistake you've made in your life, Peter's the kind of guy who says, I've said the wrong thing, I've done the wrong thing, and God still forgives me and brings me in. And what does he do? He restores Peter, and he becomes the leader of the church. So we're imperfect leaders. We're sinners saved by God's grace, getting what we don't deserve. We're telling the story of God's wonderful message to the world because we're participants in it. We're users, you know. We're the people. We're customers. We bought into this whole thing, and so God wants us to learn how to share this with other people. He says, "Go be a fisher of men," and he tells you and me, "Tell other people who I am. Tell them my story." So I think it's good for us to know the essentials of the gospel. One of the reasons we do a lot of these classes to try and talk about it. Here's a video that I love that kind of tells some of those essentials. Just take a look at this. This is really God's story, his message to the world. Take a look.
You. Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful. Each one unique. And I created every one of them. I created everything. The universe. And you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure. Complex. And every day, I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me. You sinned. You cut yourself off from me. And although you're still alive, you were slowly dying. So you looked for other things. To fill the void. But nothing works. It just kills you faster. And it separates us more and more. What are you searching for? I don't want you to die. I created you, not to be destroyed, but to know me. So I became one of you, a fragile creation. I was tempted, but I never sinned. I came to save you. You have so many sins. And they have a cost. Someone has to die. You or me. So I took on your sin and traded in my life for yours. And I died in your place. Because I love you. Then Jesus, I'm not here to condemn you. I came to bring you back to life. Rely on me. I will forgive you and give you eternal life. I love you. And I did all of this to have a relationship with you. Will you follow me?
You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the message God's given us to share with the world. If today you're hearing that message and for the first time it's really resonating in your heart, to know that the brokenness that you have can be healed because of what Jesus has done for you, I'm inviting you today to put your trust in Christ. God loves you and he's made it possible for you to be reconciled to him, to have new life, to be forgiven, to have hope and future. Put your trust in Jesus today. Well, the second thing that we do is not just tell God's story, but we show it. We show people the Jesus life. We show how he works in us. It's not perfection, not by any means. But we show that we're learning to be like him. We're learning to do the things that he wants us to do. And it changes the way that we treat other people. It changes the way that we talk. It changes how much we give. It changes, a lot of us. We still make mistakes, but it changes the way we handle our mistakes in that we're willing to be humble and be honest and admit our mistakes. We're willing to make amends with people, and we're willing to find forgiveness for ourselves and to forgive others. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. It'll make you stand out from all of your friends. You'll be so different if you really live the Jesus way. And you see, in these situations, you'll be a walking, talking Bible. Some people say, you know, you're the best Bible that anybody could ever read. They're probably not going to pick up this book right away, but they're going to watch you, and they're going to see in your life what really God's message is all about. You're going to see if you begin to share Jesus with your words and by your actions. Well, God will use you to change people's lives. He can do it. He loves to do it. You'll change people, well, like me. Some of you know the Jack story. Here's the Jack story. I grew up in the late 60s. My dad was a pastor. I went to church a lot. I basically had decided by the time I was 20 years old that being a Christian was for older women and younger children. And I wasn't a part of either one of those categories, okay? And so I was out looking to find the things that would make me feel satisfied, successful in life, trying to be approved by other people, trying to do something significant, trying to find my own way. I ended up on a bicycle trip when I was 20 years old with a group of guys. I thought if I could ride a bicycle across the country under my own power, not many people have done that, that would give me something, an achievement that people would really look up and say, wow, you really must be something. So I got on this bicycle trip. I am in the picture there. You have to squint to see me, right? Guess what? And we rode from Miami to Seattle. We did 4,300 miles in 37 days. It's about 120 miles a day. Somebody said, how far? I said, well, the longest day we had, we rode 176 miles in one day. I mean, we had two rules. One is, one rule was never walk a hill. Number two is never miss a mile. They were really serious. Like, if you're going to be in this club, you don't take any rides in the back of somebody's pickup truck just because it gets windy out or because it's raining. And so we worked our way across the country. We got into Wyoming, and it was hard. The wind was blowing. The hills were up and down. And guess what? I got sick. So sick, I was feeling so bad. We were riding like in kind of draft lines behind each other. This wasn't taken on that day. You know, we don't take pictures on bad days, okay? Listen, we were riding, the wind was so strong, we were riding behind each other, getting some rest, working our way, rotating to the front and to the back. You've seen bikers do this. But I couldn't keep up. I kept falling back. They waited for me a couple times. Finally, they said, Crabtree's not going to, let him go, okay? And they just rode off and left me. And I got slower and slower. The whole wind was, bearing down on me now. And I just thought, here we go. This is my life. Always trying to do my best, always trying to make it, and I'm never good enough. I'm always never going to be what I want to be. I'm just going to be a failure. And I thought, the bike's going to veer off on the road, I'm going to fall into a ditch, and the wolves are going to come and eat me at night, you know. And that'll be my life. Well, in the midst of all that depression, all that negativity, all that failure, I looked up and here was a guy riding towards me. Nobody ever rides towards us, he was riding towards me, a guy from our group, and he comes, swings his bike around, looks at me, says, Jack, rough day, huh? I go, I don't know if I'm going to make it. He says, don't worry, you're going to make it. And so that day, John Hansen pulled in front of me, and for the rest of the day, he stayed with me, just the two of us. He broke the wind all day long. He could have been riding with the other group and been relaxing, cruising, kind of rotating, but he came and put himself there. Here's his picture, okay? We were together a few years ago taking another little bike trip. across Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana. But you know, on that day, he pulled me through. And that night, when we got to our campground, we were sleeping in a gravel parking lot on the side of the road, okay? Somebody had set up the tents, they'd started a fire, and some people decided they were gonna, we had cans of Chef Boyardee raviolis. Mmm, boy, is that delicious. And they were cooking them over the fire to warm them up. My stomach had vetoed that idea hours ago, okay? I went straight to the tent, I crawled into my sleeping bag, I looked over, John Hansen was already in my tent. He was exhausted. He, all day long, he'd been out there laying down his life to get me there. And I said, John, just tell me one question. Why'd you come back for me? He looked at me and he said, Jack, you know, about a year and a half ago, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. You know, it says in the Bible that this is what real love is, that God came into the world and laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. He said, that's all I was trying to do. And he rolled over and went to sleep. Now, I've been to church a lot of times, but I never heard a sermon as good as that one. I never heard one as short as that one either, okay? But you know, that kind of set it off. From there, from Yellowstone Park all the way to Seattle, there was a great debate going on in my mind. Is this really real? This idea of giving my life as a 20-year-old to Jesus Christ and following him, could that really be true? Someplace between Yellowstone and Seattle, I said, okay, Lord, I'll take the chance. I'll believe that you are really, truly the way. And I put my trust in Jesus. And it has made all the difference. You know, that's what showing Jesus can do. John Hansen didn't know on that day what the outcome was going to be. He just looked at my situation. He felt the same wind that I felt. He had the same desires I had, but he decided, I think what Jesus would do, would he would go back and help that guy. And that's all he did. And that's really what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to go out and change our world by just going out and sharing our story, to go out and to do things that really glorify God. And to let people see that God's working through us, that you would do things for people in your family, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, that they'd look and go, wow, nobody's ever done that for me before. I've never seen anybody do it. How did you do that? And you can say that it wasn't me. It's me. It was God working through me because he's given me so much I can give to others. And I'm glad to do that. You know, God makes these things happen. And God wants us to share our story, to show his glory. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to show Jesus' love in this world. Do you agree with me? I think that would make a difference. And I think that's what he wants us as his believers, as his church, to do. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, this morning as we pray, you're inviting us. You're inviting us here, if we haven't put our trust in you, to realize that you're the one that we're really looking for. All the things that we've been trying, all the different directions we've gone, it's all never going to be satisfactory till we come to you. So this morning, Lord, we put our faith and trust in you. We thank you for dying for our sins, for wiping our record clean. We thank you for your love to us that will never end, that you want to come and live in our life. And so we invite you to come in. Forgive us. Fill us up with your spirit. Let us live for you and be your followers. If there's anyone here this morning that's prayed a prayer like that right now, even in your own heart, saying, today I really want to start my walk with Jesus. I really want to begin to follow him today. Just raise your hand where you are. Nobody else looking around. Just raise your hand. Say, yes, I really want him to be in my life. I want him to direct me and to help me. Yes, good. At the end of our service, our prayer teams will be here. Let's pray together. Let's talk about this. Jesus will get you started. And I also want to invite all of us who've known Jesus. It's so easy in this world to kind of, you know, let him become invisible in our life. We get overtaken with all of our own desires, kind of fitting in with everybody else. But Jesus wants us to show his love and his life wherever we are. whether we're up on top or down in the bottom, whether things are going good for us or things are really, really tough, to let Jesus shine through us. I'm inviting you this morning. Every week we're going to open God's Word this year. We're going to look at these stories of Jesus. We're going to say, Jesus, we want to follow you. Not just memorize it, not just have it in our head. We want it to affect the way we live. This morning, will you commit yourself to say, I really want to follow Jesus this year. I really want to know him in my life. I want to be like him and show his love to others. If you will, just raise your hand to God this morning. Your prayer, just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you in my life. I want to read your word. I want to be your person. Thank you, Lord.